Why wouldn't we use the current complaint procedure that's already on the city website? Because I can tell you, as someone who gets the complaints for the quarry, that procedure goes nowhere. People complain. The current procedure that's in the ordinance requires the complaint to go in, it requires staff to respond, and then it requires follow-up. And if the complaint isn't addressed and there's some legal issues, it can go to court. But the quarry procedure complaint, it's pretty much, you complain to them, they tell you you don't have an issue, and then that's it, it's satisfied. I'm not sure I'm really happy. We have a complaint procedure in place already. I'm not sure we need a special one that won't get the attention like we have now. So anybody's been involved in the quarry complaint procedure could understand how well that is not working.
Alderman Nelson, then I'll want to work on that one.
Well, I'll yield for now.
So if you notice an odor, now let's say if someone outside the building notices an odor, what happens? USDA gets involved?
So typically no, for an odor in the outdoor area, the USDA would not get involved. So the onus is going to have to be on us. So their regulation is really with monitoring livestock incoming, and then the four walls of the building. But you know, we have food safety audits that items like that would be noted. So really it's just going to be on us, and the USDA doesn't really control the odor on the outside.
Alderman Nelson and Alderman Wilhelm.
Just for a point of clarification, as we discussed moving up to today, you know, and I, you know, agree with not managing from the bench, but just point of clarification, how did it go from a max of 500 head a day over 6 days to now up to 720? If that could just be clarified, because I thought the entire time this whole discussion was going on, it was at peak 500, at peak 500. I kept hearing that from you and other members. It was at peak 500. Just please clarify.
So in the foreseeable future, those numbers are true. But if I'm asked to put a number that's very specific on the if we're to limit the building, then I'm going to think of a number that is the maximum capacity that we could get that building to. And our forecast that we've put together, we don't show that, you know, in the next 7 years we even approach the 500 head number per day. But 15 years from now, you know, maybe we get to a point that we actually utilize the space completely and we get to 720. I find that unlikely to happen, but if we were to have to put a number on it, then I would put the maximum number that the hardest work could get to.
Let's see, turn.
What about adding the inclement weather condition on the 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. truck traffic?
Well, frankly, I was working on that, but I hadn't gotten my head around it.
Well, it could be to add 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. truck traffic use is only allowed during terms of inclement weather, and the exact terms of that can be subject to approval by engineering and planning, the city engineer and the city planning manager.
The only issue on that is it's got to be post, not pre.
In the moment, we have to make the decision, so we can't go through, like, an approval process. Like, it would have to be a post-review. I agree.
You had called on me.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Still think the head count is pretty important. They're willing to do it. I don't know why we wouldn't do that. Otherwise, you know, you could end up with one of the lot of slaughterhouses in the USA. And as far as the current complaint process, I sure wish I would have remembered to bring their old special use, because it talks in there that if they have a complaint, they have to remedy within 6 hours or the health department shuts them down. So there's really good language in that 1971 special use that governs them right now. I wish, you know, we would have been given that. I wish the Plan Commission would have been given that when the public hearing was going on, because we might have had some of those conditions in there already. Without a little bit more of the conditions, I'm, you know, really not feeling real comfortable about the protections from our community. And I guess I have to agree with Alderman Mayer. This isn't about not liking Strauss. Isn't about vegan for me. I grew up on a farm. We actually did raise cows that went out for to be raised for this issue. So I was involved in meatpacking growing up, so I know what it's like. But this is, to me, not the right location. And one of the special use conditions was to look for an alternate location. I think that would be more over by 27th Street on the border over there. I think it'd be a perfect fit, and you'd have a bus line, and it'd be much more fitting than this area. So,
are we clear?
So we're clear, no 700, no water usage, and no complaint process that they can shut down if they don't fix it in so many hours. That's, we're not including any of that.
Are you voting yes? Okay, Ms. Stino, we have a motion on the floor. Do we have a motion on the floor?
A motion to amend.
We have a motion to amend. All those in favor of the motion to amend? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
All right. Ms. Stino.
Alderman Nelson?
No.
Barber?
Aye.
Hanneman?
Aye.
Wilhelm?
I just want to make it clear, I'm voting on the motion to amend the conditions, to which will have some conditions to help the public, so I vote aye.
Mayor?
No.
Dandria?
Aye.
Four ayes, two noes. No absent, no abstentions, motion carries. That's the smart vote. As you know, that's why you did it. Okay, so the motion has been amended to include those conditions. Okay, on the main motion, might as well just go ahead and take
it. Okay, are we there?
So now we need a motion.
No, wait, there was a motion to substitute.
To substitute, yes.
And that's the main motion right now.
That's correct.
With the conditions added.
No. Okay.
Just for clarity.
We're voting on the main motion to approve right now.
But this motion is to substitute. What is the net effect of a substitution?
I think we better really make clear while we're voting.
The motion to substitute is akin to a motion to amend. It's not ultimately adopting, as it says on the action sheet. If the motion to substitute passes, the next step in terms of if it gets adopted would be the vote on the motion as substituted. So it would be the motion would then be a motion to adopt the resolution imposing conditions and ultimately approving this special use as presented to the Common Council on November 2, 2020.
Clarification.
Uh-huh.
I'm not clear on the middle motion. We just did the conditions. I'm clear on the end one. The middle motion is substituting the current, what? What is it substituting?
It's substituting a motion to approve in place of the motion to deny.
Okay, on the motion to substitute, motion to approve for the motion to deny.
As amended.
As amended.
Alderman Dandria.
No.
No.
Gentlemen. Aye.
Barber.
Aye. No. Mayor votes to affect the outcome. Mayor votes aye. Motion carries. So then we need a motion to...
No. Motion to substitute passed.
Yeah, motion,
as amended.
Motion passed as amended. So now we need a motion to adopt a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions.
Not a motion, a vote upon the motion to...
Oh, sorry, yes, I'm sorry. If I could learn how to read, I'd be in good shape, right?
This is so screwed up.
But we need... But we need a motion. Nope.
The motion is before the common
okay,
council.
It,
the next step would be a vote upon the motion
to
adopt the resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a meat processing facility use upon property located at the southwest corner of the intersection of West Loomis Road and the New Monarch Drive, Lot 83 of Ryan Meadows Subdivision, Strauss Brands LLC applicant, as presented to the Common Council on November 2, 2020.
Ms. Dino.
Alderman Nelson.
No.
Barber.
Aye.
Vanderman.
Aye.
Wilhelm.
No.
Mayor.
No.
Andrea.
Aye.
Mayor votes to affect the outcome. Mayor votes aye. Motion carries. The vote is 4 ayes, 3 noes, no absent, no abstentions. Motion carries. Okay. With that, move on the agenda.
Thank you, guys.
I'm looking at the resolution.
Mayor, question. On a couple of the items, the applicants wanted to be able to call in, but no one let them in.
Do you wanna call them?
They're next.
That's on items three.
Item three, and then the other ones for whatever one was for the
3-4.
Mike King on the parking issue.
Well, Nicole's here.
Nicole is here?
All right, but...
Oh, there she is.
Fred's still here? Fred's still here?
I don't know. I didn't notice if he was here at all.
Where does the computer appear?
All right, well, we need to review TID 6 financing plan with the pending $3 million debt offering. The action we just took kind of changes this whole conversation. Mr. Rothenberg.
So, Mr. Mayor, the...
Wait.
The Finance Committee reviewed the TID 6 financing plan approved by the Common Council on October 6th, but considering the action which the Common Council just took in its previous action, this item becomes moot.
Can't we just leave them on? We used to do that all the time.
Because the cameras are controlled by this.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer. At least I know that. So do you know if the feasibility study on the pre-sale for the models included the potential negative externalities? Because do you know if it contained that at all?
I didn't hear what you were asking it contained.
The externalities of the effects that could happen.
Externalities?
Yes, they're defined as the costs incurred by the third party who do not choose to incur those costs. So basically, they're issues that can affect the property values, because we have a 33.5 million of real estate values at stake. And when this originally came and was going out for bid, I don't know. I wish they were here to ask if Ehlers knew what the project was and if it was going to be a slaughterhouse at that time, because all of those things should have been taken into consideration on what could happen to the real estate values. Those are the things that could impact that.
On page 128 of your packet is the development assumptions should the Staros property not be constructed. In the pre-sale report, while the development assumption page was not included because it was primarily focused on the repayment of the debt, the development assumptions for the Staros property had that valued at $33 million, as opposed to this alternate plan at only $10 million, which was the minimum assessed guarantee. So the assessment values for the Staros property in the pre-sale report was a little over $33 million, as opposed to the $10 million on page 128.
Well, it sounds like when we did the pre-sale, we didn't include that, the whole Staros issue, but now we're looking at what would happen if Staros didn't happen. So
both analysis included assumptions about development.
About development, but I meant about Staros in particular and the fact that it's a slaughterhouse.
Both analysis included assumptions of the valuation for all the property. I understand the alderman's question to be concerned about the Staros property in both analysis. We are reflecting on page 128 the more pessimistic view that the Staros property was to be valued at the minimum assessed guarantee. In the pre-sale report, while the assessed values were not displayed, I did ask Ehlers to provide that to me, and the Staros property was valued at $33 million, which is approximately 61% of the construction cost.
So they knew it was a slaughterhouse?
Yes.
And those, which would I'm calling the externalities, which can affect it, were known at that time when the pre-sale and all of that took place.
I'm unfamiliar with the term externalities,
okay,
but the value of the Staros property was included as a slaughterhouse at $33 million, and there has been no change in the assumed assessments for the residential property in either. They were the same in both cases.
Okay, slaughterhouse, not meat processing. Full slaughterhouse.
Correct.
Okay, that's helpful. I don't remember seeing that in the sale of the documents when it went in the paper, and I know that it's a public document and it gives people the opportunity to make comment, and if it wouldn't have been in there, then I wonder if anybody would have objected, that's all. So at this point, we don't need to worry about giving ourselves time, or we still could reconsider some of these options. I mean, one buys time to find another tenant, the number two, but we really don't need to find another tenant. One buys time for an anticipation note. The other one, there's different options here. We don't have to do this right now. We could delay it. Is there any advantage to doing that at all?
As reported to the Finance Committee, the city has an obligation to pay draws on infrastructure construction by the developer. That's in the developer's agreement.
Yes.
We sold $6 million plus, including some capitalized interest, to fund the first $6 million of the $9 million. That money will be drawn, and there will be no additional money on the city's hands. The developer has indicated that their construction continues and that they will make a draw against that additional $3 million sometime in the next 60 days.
Okay. I didn't realize it was going to be that quickly. Because I thought if we had time or if there, you know, could be a different rate or something, that we might want to consider putting it out. But if it's going to be 60 days, obviously, that wouldn't be enough.
That's what they've told us, is that within 60 days they'll be making further draw requests.
Okay.
Okay, with that, I've got to go make a phone call. Alderman Dandridge is going to take the microphone, but I have to show him how to work this system. You got to come over here, Mark.
Me on then?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to G3.
We do not have to vote on that.
Well, I want to table G3 and move to item 5.
Wait.
Because there's no sense in doing
page 133.
Don't table it.
All right, just postpone it and vote on it.
Hold on, I'm not following you.
The agreement for Creative Homes, Inc. and Franklin 49th Street, LLC, to construct West Marquette Avenue?
Yeah, that's item 3. We don't need to do an agreement. We don't have funded project yet, so there's no sense in working on an agreement until you fund a project. There's no sense in
Correct.
Ordering the bid until you fund the project.
Do you know how this got on the agenda?
Well, G5 is the funding.
Correct. How did 3 get on the agenda?
Glenn
Who asked
on.
For 3 to get on?
Glenn put it on the agenda. He mistaken the where it says Alderman Wilhelm requested this agreement brought to the Common Council when the bids were received. Was I asked him to remove that from it because that's not correct. But it's public document now, but that's not what I said. I said don't bring it forward until you actually have the funding. But he didn't remove that. Also, if you look at the background on G3, it says on August 4th, well, that first motion to go out to bid was way back in March, and this does not reflect. So I'm going to put that on the record. There was a previous motion in March to go out for bid on that should have been on this action sheet for tracking for public records. Because it looks to the public that this all just took place on August 4th, which is not the case at all.
Okay, Alderwoman. There may be some reasons why it did not go out in March, because of a bad economic environment.
No. He said he didn't understand the motion.
Okay.
But I'm just asking we go to 5.
But City Council, is there any problem with us? What should we do with G3? Just...
Maybe she wants to come back to it.
You want to come back to it afterwards?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So the older woman would like to go to G5. G5 is on page 145.
And we probably will need the finance officer for this because it's been... I really don't want to make more motions. I just